was praying about this morning, and I'm trusting the Lord has got something special for each one of us through His Word. And there's something that I believe that God wants to do in this meeting. He's going to speak His Word to us, but He wants to do something. And it's summed up in Psalm 18, verse 39, that He wants to arm you with strength for battle. Arm you with strength for battle. There's nothing worse than feeling weak and not unable to face the things, the challenges that come at you in life. And every single one of us has a destiny, a divine destiny, that God has planned a certain destiny and future for each one of us. And that destiny is actually always going to be challenged by Satan. The devil will always challenge your future in God, because those challengers are sent to try and stop you and cause you to back off and not step forward. And actually, on the other side of every challenge is an opportunity for you to overcome and see victory and win. But sometimes we have to kind of go through what the Bible calls a fight of faith, to overcome obstacles so that we can actually enter into every plan and destiny that God has for us. So your God-given task or assignment, your destiny, whether it's to raise children for Jesus, to bring the kingdom of heaven at work, because most of you have a situation, the circumstances at the moment where God has put you on assignment, placed you in certain places where He wants to demonstrate His greatness through you, His kingdom. But there will be opposition to your assignment. And it's really important whenever you start to think about opposition or obstacles that you realize that you and I were designed for victory. We weren't designed by God to lose. We were designed by Him, given Jesus His life, so that we might win. Amen. That is your destiny, Amen. To go from victory to victory, not from defeat to defeat. I'm really glad we're not on the losing team. Jesus won the victory and we're on His side. And in fact, if God wasn't on our side, we wouldn't win. But the fact is, He is. And if God be for us, who can stand against us? And our attitude in life is to live bowed before God. We're not to be arrogant. We're to live our lives in humility before God, tender-hearted in love and worship of Jesus. I think it's so important that we protect our hearts, that we really do have a tender heart of love for Jesus. That is so important, to cultivate your heart for Jesus and to keep tender. And the only way you'll stay tender-hearted towards Jesus is if you keep tender-hearted towards others, towards people. Our battle isn't against people. The Bible is really clear. And it's so important that we keep that in mind when we're talking about opposition and trouble. Because sometimes you might think a person is your problem. But Jesus tells us clearly in His Word, people aren't the problem. It's the power behind the people that are the problem. And if you deal with the power behind the people, then the people won't be a problem. Or if you deal with whatever is being revealed in you, which is a bit of a problem at that moment, your reactions, then you will overcome and win in life. And so our goal is to live bowed and humble before God, to stay tender-hearted before God and people, but to resist the devil. To not be passive with the things that the enemy is trying to do to steal, to kill and destroy. So we're to be actively resisting Satan. Jesus told us to submit to God, but then resist the devil and he will flee from you. So if we are designed for victory, I just want us to have a quick look at an attitude that I believe God wants to impact you with this morning. And that attitude is that famous king called David in 1 Samuel. It's a famous story, really. A lot of people know about King David and about Goliath. Has anybody ever heard about somebody called Goliath? Goliath was the enemy against God and God's people. And the Philistines had come against God's people. That's the enemy coming against the God's people. And as the enemy came against them, they sent out just their best guy, their top man, the big one, Goliath. He was huge. He was intimidating. He was a warrior. He was a fighter. And they said, pick your best man and bring them out onto the field. And whoever wins this contest will win the war. Well, I mean, it speaks about Jesus because he is the best man. The stronger man defeated Goliath for us. But David had an incredible attitude to the enemy, to what the enemy was trying to do. Let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 17 and we'll read from verse 32. Thank you, Lord. David said to Saul, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine, that's Goliath. Your servant will go out and fight him. What an attitude. Don't lose heart. I'm your servant. In fact, I'm God's servant. I'm going to go out and fight. I'm going to go get him. And Saul replied, you're not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You're only a boy. And he's been a fighting man from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it. It's madness without God to go after a lion and a bear that's taken something out of your house. Is it not? It's sheer lunacy. You're a little bit off your head. If a lion takes something, normally we say, feel free. You're welcome. But David had this amazing attitude, and I believe it's a God-given attitude. And God wants his people to have the same attitude. Because when the lion and bear came off and carried off the sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. You don't usually go near a lion or bear's mouth, because that's one of the problems. They've got big teeth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair. I actually believe this. I actually believe he did it, because this is the truth. He got the lion by that mane. Awesome. Don't you pick a fight with me. God's on my side. You want to be careful about who you're picking a fight with. Love the attitude. Took him by his hair, struck it, and killed it. I don't know what he did, punched his lights out, I don't know. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will become like them because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. What talk! What bravery! What an attitude! What audacity to come into this army scene where his brothers have been trained to fight. But they're all scared. And Saul and all the army are quaking in their boots. And this boy steps up and says, Let me at him. Because God has already done this in my life, and this isn't a problem with me and God. This isn't a problem with me and God. Me and God, we can overcome this. We can deal with this enemy. Now, David then begins to kind of unfold his CV to Saul when he describes about his faith history. And he starts to say things like, well, you know, I was looking after my father's sheep. That was my job. That's where I worked. And sometimes I think as Christians, we think that work and church are separate. But a lot of our challenges, wherever we live and wherever we do life, the challenges are mostly at work, aren't they? Whenever you're working, whatever you're doing, that's when the challenges come. It's much easier on a Sunday because we're hearing about the word. And most often, people don't challenge us like they do at work, or situations don't come up as they do at work. And I love this story because it's so real. You see, David had a promise from God that God had called him and anointed him to be leader of Israel. In other words, God had a destiny for David, and it was to rule, it was to win, and it was to lead others into victory. But the word itself actually began to work in him, in his life and situation. That when he was at work, when challenges came, he had to prove that he and God were able to overcome those challenges before he ever took on the leadership role. See, I believe God's got a better future for you and for me, greater things ahead. But the challenges you and I face on a daily basis are actually for us to overcome now, so that the future will one day, and David never knew that, one day he would stand before Goliath. He didn't know that. But as a shepherd at work, he overcame bears and lions, so that he had this testimony about the faithfulness and the greatness of God that catapulted him into destiny. And let me tell you, your testimony will catapult you into destiny. You know what a catapult is? I used to have one as a girl because I grew up in Africa and they were allowed. They're not allowed here. I don't believe they are. I think it's seen as a weapon. Which, of course, it was. But we just used to have shooting matches with a catapult. We used to make our own with a piece of wood and elastic and just line something up, a tin can or something, on a wall. My brothers, all my friends, because we're all a bit like this growing up, shooting to win. And I believe sometimes we forget that what's behind us that has stretched us and stretched our faith is actually what's going to propel us to win. And David said, I don't just see Goliath. I've got a rear view mirror. You know when you drive your car, you've got a mirror that can look behind. And David was using his memories, his rear view mirror of what was behind, to actually remember and bring a testimony onto that stage where, hang on, look what God did. Bears and lions, I went out for them and I went to resist the devil. I wasn't passive. I didn't put up with what the enemy was sending my way. I actively resisted it and overcame. Amen. And because of that, it's going to catapult me into victory in this situation. See, your life, your destiny actually is all about your story, where you have already overcome, so that in your future, Goliath, the biggest issues that come up, you'll win them. And you see that? And so David didn't just tell a story. He had a purpose in it. He was bringing things back to mind, speaking things out. God's done this, so he's still going to do this. It's not a problem with me and with God. His attitude at work. And I wonder sometimes if we realize we are being tested at work, wherever you work or at school. Are you going to overcome or run? Are you going to win it or back off? And his attitude was, my dad, who's my boss, entrusted me with these sheep. And you know, you've been entrusted with certain things in your life. God has trusted you with a certain amount of people or authority, whether it's in your home or whether it's at work. You've been given things that God says you're to steward and be entrusted with. And the devil wants to steal, kill and destroy those very things that God gives. He wants to rob the best that God has intended for you. And David had this attitude that if it's been entrusted to me, the devil's not having my stuff or my dad's stuff. And what a great example of a good employee. To actually work for the benefit of the company you work for. Isn't that amazing? What an attitude. I'm here so that nothing on my watch is lost. And this is David's training for his future ministry. I think sometimes people just live with a dream, a vision, and say, well, one day it will suddenly happen. But you need to build a faith history with God. The stepping stones from faith to faith, from victory to victory. So that when you are in a situation which will catapult you into actually everybody seeing what kind of faith you have, you're ready to win. And I believe in training for reigning. That God trains us so that one day we will be in our complete destiny. We'll be in the stage where we should be, seeing God work through us, a tremendous victory, not just for ourselves, because in this situation, David used his faith for everybody else. And God doesn't just want to do victories in our own lives, he wants to use your faith so that many people will experience victory. Because you say, cancer, it isn't a problem. Because you overcame a cold, and then you overcame flu, and then when you had a bad report, you won that one. So that when you come into a situation where there is a bad report, you say, it isn't a problem. I've won the lions and the bears. And I'll see God deliver me from this. Amen. When you are living in a situation where God has provided for you in your history and suddenly there isn't any work or a job, you'll look back in your rearview mirror and say, do you know God has always been faithful? I've seen his faithfulness with these lions, with these bears, with this trouble that came. We overcame it. God did a miracle. So this isn't going to be a problem. It's a catapult to the future. And I sometimes think we've got the wrong memory loss, where we should continually remind ourselves and the people around us of what God has done that actually brings a momentum of power and faith into your current situation. David wasn't passive. You see, you're not ready to fight if you have an afternoon nap. You don't need to fight to sleep. But you need to fight to overcome a battle, don't you? And so we need to see that God is at work in everything for our good. Because what he wants to do is to say, what I've put in you is enough for you to win in every situation and challenge you're facing. It doesn't matter what you're going through. God is able to bring you out into victory. God is able to change whatever opposition there is into a triumph. And everybody will see the glory of God, that God did something in an impossible circumstance. David had a faith story, not a sob story. How many of you have spoken to Christians over the years, never in Kingdom Faith Southwest, but over the years, because the enemy is challenging them, there's opposition, they just back off and cry and say, why me? Why does it always happen for me? And I want to tell you, sob stories or self-pity never wins. If you want to lose out in life, feel sorry for yourself. Yeah. If you want to win, trust God. And trust Him to give you what it takes to win. He didn't end up bitter. He ended up better. See, when you're hurt, betrayed, slandered, accused, when people don't do what you think they should do, at that point, are you going to get angry, have a tizzy, have a little fit of rage and annoyance? Are you going to walk out, or are you going to say, I forgive. Father, as you forgave me, I forgive. What are you going to do? And these are the challenges, because one of the biggest weapons the enemy uses to defeat a Christian's life is offense. What somebody did or what somebody didn't do. How somebody treated you or how they didn't treat you. Or how a circumstance happened at work that was unrighteous and you were falsely accused. What in that moment are you going to do? Because your destiny is being shaped in those defining moments. You see, there are defining moments in your and my life when we won't walk out. When a church, where something happens in church and somebody, well, you don't like what they did. Maybe they did the wrong thing. What are you going to do? Get bitter or better? You see, I believe that the challenges are there to prove that God is enough to win over offense. That we can forgive because we've been forgiven. That God gives us the grace in situations to say sorry when we would normally be so full of our own pride, trying to defend how right we are. But when we walk humbly before God and before others, we're in a position to resist the devil. And he must flee. So we don't want sob stories, we want faith stories. Imagine David saying, you wouldn't believe it, I was just doing my job and this big lion came in, took the lamb, took the sheep, then a bear came in. You wouldn't believe what kind of week I've had. He actually had this mindset. Oh, may the Lord put it in each one of us. I have come that you might have life, and life in all its fullness. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. If you think God's sending this, then you're never going to fight it. But you need to know the battle line is drawn here in the sand. If the devil is trying to take something, it isn't God. God is for you. God has planned blessing for you. He's got a good future for you. He has rewards for faith, not for sob stories. Stop crying and start believing. Stop being bitter and offended. Start forgiving and blessing your enemies. I am confident the devil would have won over my life if I had submitted to the offense when people did bad things, said bad things about me, which happens regularly, my darlings. Might have even come through you, I don't know. I don't know. The Lord knows, I don't know. Praise God, I don't know. Otherwise there'd be so much more forgiveness I'd have to go through. But I have learned to keep a short account, that before I pray, oh, I forgive. Because I know there's no miracle for me if I hold on to it. And I know that a lion is waiting, the devil, like a prowling lion, waiting to devour if we don't live through these challenges and become better, not bitter. David was not a victim. He was a victor. Isn't this brilliant? No sob story, a faith story. No bitter, we're better. And no victim mentality. Well, it always happens to me. Nothing ever works. You know, when I grew up, my dad taught me to ride a bike with stabilizers. I don't know. Has anybody put stabilizers on? So you actually, your kids can actually learn that they think they're doing really well. I used to think I was doing really well with stabilizers. But when the stabilizers came off, my dad wanted me to learn how to ride a bike. I fell off so many times. And I went with a sob story to my dad and I said, but this isn't working. This bike's no good. And you know, so many Christians say the faith life doesn't work. It's a load of rubbish. Jesus says faith works. Faith overcomes the world. Faith overcomes lions and bears. Insurmountable problems, faith will win it. If you want to win something, faith will win it. Victory is found in your faith. And faith comes from hearing and hearing God. If you need a victory, get into the Word. Ask God to speak to you, to download the spirit of faith so that you can overcome. So complaining about the bike means I'll never get on it and win it. And I had to learn that actually I needed to be trained in certain things so that I could ride that bicycle. And it's the same with you and me. Do not back off with the things that come and the challenges that come against you. Say, Lord, give me, arm me with strength for battle. Give me something that will get me over, not come under. We are the head and not the tail. We're in Christ above all powers and principalities. We've been given authority over all the power of the enemy. And nothing will harm us. The challenges bring the best out of us. Now, I read this. I won't be going on for too long. You'll be thrilled to hear. But just this amazing example. The Brazilian football team. When they used to train their young players, their up-and-coming teenagers, who for many years Brazil used to be on the world scene, a phenomenal football team. And they used to train their kids on uneven surfaces. They didn't make it easy with your beautiful, you know, trimmed surface grass. They trained. They were looking for these young people to win on an uneven surface. And in those lumps and things that just happened, these young football players learned a skill and a creativity that people don't learn on the easy ground. And in fact, it brings the best out of the players because they don't learn in perfect conditions. You see, I believe what God has put in us is actually all that we need, his spirit, his life, his faith, all that we need for all the uneven surfaces of life. That whatever's going on at work, you can win it. But it's time you saw you could. It's time you had a vision looking out your window that this Goliath is going to be defeated because my rear view mirror says, this is what God has already done. And I believe that God empowers us to actually overcome every challenge and to win every battle so that we can be like David and say, now we're ready to see a whole army come into the destiny that Jesus has for them because I'm ready to take my stand of faith in God. It matters what you win at home and at work so that you can come into your destiny. Amen. See, I believe that an uneven surface of your life, your circumstances that aren't perfect, God's saying, come on, I've given you what it takes. Overcome it. Overcome. What you find difficult, get something from God and be changed in it. You know, I look back in my rear view mirror and I've got a lot of stories about what God has done. But I see that, like David, it catapults me to take on greater victories. And I just want to show you this bowl, and I'm going to finish. It's not the most attractive bowl. It's probably 20 years old. 15, 20. And when Pastor Andrew and I left the team at Rophi, We stayed. I still taught in the Bible college there, but we went into full-time itinerant ministry. We didn't have a salary, and we didn't know the money was coming in for rent, and we didn't have work. Time for faith, okay? But we did have enough money. I think it was just £5 or something, because we got this small flat that we lived in, and actually it smelt. Wasn't your best flat. And but we were so grateful, the faithfulness of God to even get that. And we bought two bowls. I've got the other one as well. And this is in my rear view. This is something that happened 20 years ago. And we bought this bowl, two of them, for the purpose of cereal in the morning, soup for lunch, pasta or vegetable stew in the evening. One size fits all. In other words, we didn't need your plates. This is all we had. But every time we used them, we were like, God, you're so faithful. I've got a bowl. And we saw this as a sign of provision. Now, to many of you, you'd say that's ridiculous. But sometimes I think we forget the signs. We lose sight of the little things that God did in our past that will enable us to face the future with bravery and aggression against the enemy. And when we got this bowl, and we started off in full-time itinerant ministry, God was faithful every step of the way. He provided supernaturally work. We travel and preach. Now, we never had a set salary. We were not those kind of preachers that sent ahead and say, it'll cost you £500. You'd be lucky if you got £10 in some of them. But it was up to those churches to give. And there were many times we came home. I remember, I probably told you this story. In one offering, there wasn't hardly any kind of notes, but it was all cash, coins. And they said, after we finished a whole weekend pouring out our lives, they had all these coins, and they said, you probably don't want this. And Pastor Andrea opened her handbag and said, oh, yes, we do. The people gave it, put it in here. Because the only way we could live was through people giving. And actually, they should have honored us for the ministry, but often they didn't. A dozen eggs doesn't pay your rent. But God does. And God put it on people's hearts to sow into our lives so we could pay rent, launch an itinerant ministry that went all over the world preaching the gospel. And I've got bowls today because this first bowl is part of my history. I've got actually two sets of crockery. Isn't that extravagant? But when I look at this, I remember with thanksgiving the little things that grew into bigger things. And there was one day when we saw this building, the two of us, and we said, let's take it. Let's take it for this army. Because we know that God has provided, will always provide, and in our future we will see God's miraculous power. Any challenge that we face isn't because everything's easy, but it's because we're overcomers. And if you've just got off your bike and thought you failed, get back on it. Get running your race for Jesus. And don't stop because of uneven surfaces, but realize they're just an opportunity to bring the best out of you. Sometimes we run from challenging relationships, and I've had a few. Sometimes still do. People who rub me up the wrong way. Has anybody ever had anybody rub them up the wrong way? Have you ever felt that iron sharpening iron stuff? And it just grates everything they do. And you become all bitter, angry, twisted. And I've had these, I've had for years. It must have took me along to train for training to reigning. Because I realized that until I pass that test, I can't move on. Go back to school. And I had to learn to forgive. To actually find the good in everyone. And to not fight people. You see, if David had come onto that field and said, because the brothers weren't very nice to him. If he made them the problem and not Goliath, there would have been no victory, but increasing defeat. And the devil wants to make people the problem. Whereas actually God said, I've given you what it takes to overcome. Now, I've also given you what it takes to get on with everybody in your life. To love them, to forgive them, to honor them, to serve them, and to learn that if you feel scratchy, it's because God wants to deal with something in you so that you can live life as an overcomer. Uneven surfaces. Count it all joy when pressures and trials are coming at you from all sides, because your faith will show its true colors when pressure's on. And God has designed you to win every challenge through relying and trusting on his power, but also to say, that's it. I'm not taking what the enemy is handing out anymore. It's over. Your number's up. I'm not putting up with this anymore. And some of us this morning, God wants to put in you this, I'm not putting up with this. The fight to fight the good fight of faith. The strength to say, right, we're going to win this.
If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186, or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.